Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I welcome George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I highly recommend. George's comments most recently are compelling because he reviews the presentation made by Vladimir Putin, running for re-election as president of the Russian Federation. To the American audience, attached on Twitter and the now called X and elsewhere by the celebrity journalist Carlson. The interview, George explicates, was obviously an illustration of Putin's understanding of the world as he sees it from the Kremlin. It has to do with NATO, yes, but it also has to do with Russian history. George, a very good evening to you. Vladimir Putin is making a presentation to the American people. I accept that as his audience. What did he want? What does he want us to learn from his very careful chronology? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and it's good to be back. Well, what Putin is trying to do is show that the war in Ukraine originates in a failure of the Americans to understand what Russia is. Russia is not simply the place on the map. It's the place that helped create Europe. Its influence went far away. And that Russia is not simply trying to regain that, but it has that influence, that it by nature is a much larger power than the West thinks because of the borders. And it goes into the history, and it was a very amazing capability. For hours he spoke. Tucker Carlson was there, but he didn't get to interview him until much later. He simply held forth for 2 hours. Now, maybe it was there was voices in his ear telling him these things, but he understood the history of Europe superbly and told it well. So it's, I don't expect him to be an intellectual, but actually he turned out to be, at least on this show, quite an intellectual.
You acknowledge that there were some assumptions that can't be supported by historical research, but in any event, he's telling a story. It turns on the Nazis. What are the Nazis to him, as you can understand it? Because it's a phenomenon that is in Hollywood all the time, but it's mid-20th century thinking. Why does he need it today?
Well, remember, Russia was savaged by Hitler. It was not simply that he occupied it, and in the course of war there was death. There was systematic death. And it was not only a generation that was affected, he argues, but all of Russian history. Now, he looks at Ukraine and makes the claim, which is dubious, that it's run by Nazis. He makes that claim because several of the leaders have been collaborators with the Nazis. Now, the truth is that in every country that was occupied by the Germans, France or whatever, they were collaborators. They stayed alive that way. What he's trying to do is make Putin an illegitimate country by pointing out that it had collaborators there. Well, so did Russia. And so at certain points where his, you know, story ends, he turns it into preposterous claims. And this is one point.
A second assertion by the president was that China is the leading economy on the planet and that the sanctions regime directed by the U.S., but not entirely a U.S. sanctions regime, are wrong-headed, are incorrect, have failed. What is China to him, could you discern?
Well, China is an example you can point to and then make a false claim, which is that the Chinese economy is larger than the American. The American economy is substantially larger in, by many measures. There's some measure you could make the claim, but it's the largest economy. And he wants to show the Americans that he has an ally of equal economic power as the United States or greater, China. And also, he's trying to make the point that attempting to use economics measures to control the Russians is going to fail because he's got the Chinese. Well, he wouldn't have to say that if that were true, but he had to make that claim.
Is he at war, special military operation, is he at war with NATO or is he at war with a breakaway part of Russia?
Well, Kiev. So it is a breakaway. But it's also NATO. I mean, his obsession is NATO, because his obsession was with Hitler, and before that, the Russian obsession with the Germans in general. I mean, he's afraid of the West. That's where the dangers come from. That's where they always come from. So, yeah, he's afraid of NATO. But then NATO is truly afraid of Russia. Remember, from 1945 onward, we were standing toe-to-toe with the Soviets. As we used to say, on the Fulda Gap, which is in Germany, we stood the watch and we hoped that there would be no war, but we expected one. So NATO, and particularly the United States, was obsessed with the Russians. The Russians were obsessed with NATO and the United States. And this is sort of the mini war that they never fought in the first place.
There's a little detail here that has plenty of room to debate. He mentions Poland. He mentions Lithuania. That is his presentation. They're part of the greater Russia. They're near abroad. They're ours. But within these last hours, I know you've reported it. Everybody's reported it. There was this strange condemnation of the Prime Minister of Estonia and another member of the cabinet for desecrating Soviet statues. I mention this only because it was odd, and it was at the same time demonstrating that ploy that was used in the 20th century. They're German-speaking, or this has always been part of Germany, or our co-patriots are being abused by these outliers. Was there, to your ear, George, was there a presentation from Putin justifying the next step to go for more of the near abroad and not stop with Ukraine?
Well, his claim was that Russia was the creator of much of Europe. And he therefore seemed to imply that he has rights there that he hadn't otherwise. And he mentioned all these countries, the Baltic countries, Poland, Poland's history is bound up with Russia in many ways, bad and good. So he then claims that because 400 or 500 years ago there was this relationship, there is certainly still a relationship. Well, what he's trying to do is justify the war. He certainly would attack if he could. He can't. He's not strong enough. But he's also speaking to the American people. And to the American people, he's saying, look, we're not doing anything but taking back what's ours, or trying to take back what's ours. You have no interest here. There's no reason why you should be resisting. And this was interesting, because remember, this was a speech in English, not by him, by a translator, to the American people. And in making that speech, he really tried to show the reasonableness of the Russian position, which isn't that reasonable, but led to demanding that Estonia behave differently and so on. He wants to make the claim so he gets a chance to make a concession.
What is your thinking about why he mentioned hypersonic missiles? It felt like the magic weapon of 1945. He just threw it on the table.
Hypersonic missiles change warfare. They're not easily destroyable, but more than that, they rapidly get to their target. The dream of the United States, which is working on it, is not a short-range hypersonic missile, very fast, but a long-range one. So look, in Desert Storm, we had to wait six months before we built up for the war. In that time, Saddam Hussein could have cleaned the table with us. If we had hypersonic missiles that are in a continental, we could have pounded him without ever landing troops. And he couldn't really resist. So Putin's claim that I have hypersonic intercontinental missiles was really a threat to the United States. Now, the United States, as far as I know, because it could be there secretly, has short-range missiles. So that was a threat to the United States, but I'm not sure that it's a credible threat. I'm not sure that he has really long-range missiles. But if it does, that he can reach us without nuclear weapons, hitting very precisely various targets, and cripple us. Unlike nuclear weapons, which are indiscriminate, the hypersonic missiles are simply missiles that can take out one house, the White House. So this was a serious threat he was pointing out, and he was pointing out that Russia has these things. I'd be very surprised if he did.
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site discussing Vladimir Putin's presentation to the American people via translator. We'll turn now to George's essay on War Start, the significance of War Start, the choices of War Start, and the U.S. now has another decision. Are we going to start a war in Europe? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.